I work with a fella who stutters horribly. And he told me a joke this week, and he said, I want you to use it in church just like I taught it to you, so here we go. It seems a Bible salesman had wandered into a church to shore up selling Bibles to raise money for mission projects. And the Bible salesman started asking for volunteers to sell Bibles. And people jumped up all over the place, including Junior, who stuttered horribly. And the Bible salesman knew it, and he said, I can't let you sell Bibles. You won't even get the words out. And Junior said, I can sell Bibles. And the man said, no, you can't. He said, yes, I can. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you try it, but if you slip off quota, you're done. And Junior said, okay. And so 2 weeks goes by, and the Bible salesman returns back to check and see how things are going. And he starts calling out names. And he says, Sister so-and-so, you sold 10 Bibles in 2 weeks. All right. And Brother Whatnot, you sold 15 Bibles in 2 weeks. Amen. And brother and sister down the street there, you sold 30 Bibles in 2 weeks. Praise the Lord. And everybody was starting to giggle because they wanted to hear what Junior sold. And the man picked up his paper and he said, Brother Junior sold 100 Bibles in 2 weeks. And the whole congregation went, what? And the Bible salesman said, Brother Junior, stand up and tell them how you did it. And Junior got up and he said, I just knocked on the door, and I said, hello, I'm selling Bibles door to door. Would you like to buy one, or would you like me to come in and read it to you? Amen, where God's at. With a joyful heart, we call for the ushers to come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now you're with it. And it's good morning, too. Hey, we survived the wind. Anybody get blown away? I told somebody on the phone the other night, thank golly I'm a fat man or I'd have been in another state yesterday. And I have to share this story, and it's kind of funny, and it's kind of not, because it shows that I am still not perfect, even though I keep thinking I am. But yesterday, as I was hauling grit down out of, I saw prayer in action, or at least I'll bet he was. But as I was hauling grit down off the mountain at Blue Ridge Summit, if you've ever come down 15 past Mount St. Mary's into Thurmont there, there's a long hill. It's an S-curvy hill. On the side of the hill, and there's no way to stop the wind. There's no banks there, and the wind gets pretty vicious. The truck weighs 80,000 pounds, and it was moving me around. But I'm all right with that. Makes it a little exciting. But there was a man behind me in one of these little smart cars. And now you know what I'm talking about. That thing is that big. If I got in that thing, I'd be wearing it like an accessory. And he was mad because I was in front of him. As we started past Mount St. Mary's, he kept looking out around my truck. So I got over in the next lane, and he went by, and he caught the blast on the side of that hill, and it proceeded to move that car from one lane to another. At one point, the car got up almost on two wheels. The car started going down the road sideways like that, and I happened to notice the guy in the car when he went by. He was a big man, too. And I'll bet by the time he got to the bottom of that hill, he was praying. Unfortunately for him, I was laughing. And I said to myself, I'm thankful I'm not in that car. I'm here today. Let us keep in mind Chris and Jennifer, the poor little Faith is still getting through her glowworm phase. As of talking to them, they are still fighting with getting everything settled down. Maybe you know a little bit more. You guys live right next door. They said anything or let you know anything? Didn't even know. He's been keeping it real quiet. But the child's here, and as of Wednesday or Thursday, she was still having problems with elevated levels of something in her blood. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But he's concerned. His first baby. Now, I know he's got Jonathan, but he wasn't there for that. He was there for this. And Jennifer seems to be taking it in stride, but Chris is a father of a daughter. So keep that family in your prayer. And also, my boys, keep them in prayer. One was sick yesterday, and he was miserable, and they're getting over it, and I don't know whatever else. So with all the running around we've got to do today, they couldn't be in church with us today. They're being looked after. My boss, the people I work for, truck for, D.L. George, he lost his mother this week. She was 97. And so he's not, even though she was sick, he's not taking it very well. So keep that family in prayer. Also, others this morning, joys, concerns, prayers, praises. Let's see. Joy for Frank, 64 years. Concern for Anna, 64 years. Got it. And he's a long time to look across the breakfast table at that. Right? Yeah. If there are none, let's move forward with our prayer. And as you bow forward, as you prepare to meditate, if you have that unspoken request, just hand up and down wherever it may be. Thank you. Thank you. Let's join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, in this moment of meditation, quiet us. Let our hearts lean forward and seek you. Let us hear you and be thankful that you are there in all times, in all places, in all moments, when we are at our lowest point, when we are at our highest point, there you are. Thank you. We ask for prayer today for those that are still fighting the frailties of this body, with those who are suffering and not quite sure at times. Strengthen them. Strengthen new life brought into this world, that the doctors that are watching over, the caregivers that are keeping up with it, would help young baby Faith into a more regulated system. Be with those, Father, who speak not what is on their heart, but you know it just the same. You share it with them just the same. You read it. You know it as if you were sitting beside them right now. Allow them to lean into you. And thank you for joy of praise. For 64 years, that's marriage. You laid it out. You consecrated it. You made it real. You said, do this. What a blessing that is. Thank you for our safety in all things, Father. Even when the storms blow, you keep us close. And as we prepare today, Father, to debate, to discuss, to converse, let this be to your glory, that what comes away is yet again the complete and total uplifting of your word, whole and perfect. Some of the leaders of this country, Father, have forgotten why they are the leaders. I pray you bring it to them, that you move within them, that if necessary, knock them down, build them up, that they may glorify, that we may strengthen this land that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for those who watch over, keep, and protect us, whether they teach, whether they serve us in emergency capacities or in hospital facilities, and for those in the military, for our missionaries. Please remember Haiti and Chile and Brazil, where David's at. Please bring home Janet Taylor. She is fighting for the conversion. And the devil is assaulting her. Bring her home and strengthen her, and let her teachings now become the foundation of what will grow out of that ministry. Be with us, Father, as we pray, the way Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. If you are a regular here, you know that one of my favorite books in the Bible is Philippians, because Paul preached to the church at Philippi, which I think is the great name for a town, being as how much I love pie. But in Paul's letter to the Philippians, it is a great letter. It is a letter of encouragement. It is a letter of a call to action. And he exhorts them so in his letter, in joy, in serving, in the second chapter. Verse 12. Therefore, and I want you to pay special attention to this before I start. You understand, when Paul wrote so many letters, he wrote them as the instructor, as the teacher, as the leader. But to the church at this point in the letter, he refers to them lovingly and intimately. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining, arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even as I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice, and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Intimate, loving, caring, call to action. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look toward this, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, let us have what you would have us learn. Let these words be from you, Father. Let these teachings be uplifting. Let this message be clear. Let it pound upon our hearts. Let it walk within our mind. Let it strengthen us in the days to come, that when we talk to someone, that we may show them your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen. actions are louder than words. Amen? That's what hit me this week. Regardless of what I do up here and blah, 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 and carry on, if I don't act, I don't have any words. Lately, I've been reading about the father of our country, George Washington. And when I say reading, I listen to books on tape because I don't have any time to read, it seems like, for anything anymore. But I've been reading about George Washington and his simplistic, humble attitude, action. And the story that struck me was he arrived at a battle, and I don't remember where, but during the battle he rode up from the back and he watched as on the hill a group of his leaders, generals, lieutenants, whatever they were, observed the battle from the distance outside of musket fire. And the battle was going poorly. We were getting our tail kicked. And every now and then some young man would run up and he would talk to them and he would run back down. And sometimes in the running, pow! A new man would have to be sought out and run up and run back down. And Washington, watching the tide of the battle going poorly for the Revolutionary Army, rode over to the generals, the lieutenants, the captains, dismounted from his horse and walked over and said, "What's the problem down here?" And they looked at him and he said, "General Washington, we're up here trying to work this thing out. We're talking about what we should do. We're talking about how things are. We're trying to figure this whole thing out, General. We keep sending messages down, but they won't listen to us." And General Washington said, "Apparently your words ain't working." And with that, he mounted his horse and rode into the battle and challenged them to do the same, to quit being sissies and step into action. The battle turned. The redcoats were repelled, and another skirmish would fight later on. If you've got words on a hill that ain't reaching the front, you need to be where the action is. You need to realize that as Christians, your actions speak louder than your words. And that's hard for me, because I'm not a smart man. Ask my wife. And I'm sure after 64 years of marriage, if we make it that far, that's what will be on our anniversary cake. I married not a smart man. And I have to measure every word that comes out of my face and every move that I make because I am the pastor. I am the preacher. But more importantly, I am the Christian. I am the person that people are looking at. Too often today, we become wordsmiths, hammering out. Make this big word, make that big word. It takes me in mind of Jerry Clower talking about Uncle Versie Ledbetter. If you ain't never heard of Jerry Clower, then you're not cultured. See me after church, I'll get you squared away. I have his complete collection. And Jerry Clower said Uncle Versie decided he was going to show how smart he was, even though he never made it out of the second grade. And one day at a particular meeting at the general store, somebody asked Uncle Versie a question, and Uncle Versie answered by saying, "Well, the vernacular of the photo inthe took me around the corner to find out what the sum total of the quotient might be." And the whole store stopped, and Uncle Versie said, "What?" And the clerk at the store said, "Uncle Versie, all I asked is if you wanted some cream in your coffee." We use words too many times when we should be doing action. Amen? And action. We start forgetting the effect of something simple. I chose three people. I don't know why. That's just where I wandered. But it was that action. Why did I do that? Because at some point, somebody took a hold of me one day and said, "Jesus loves you." I remember the feeling. Yeah, he does. I wish Linda was in here right now. We never talk about what I'm preaching, about what she's writing, about what she's going to talk about. And yet every Sunday morning, Her lesson mirrors my speech, my sermon, and the songs do as well. Action. And it all started with something that happened to me this week. I was at work, minding my own business, trying to be quiet and behave, as I am wont to do, because, as you know, I am the picture of patience. You can laugh right there if you would like to. And I was sitting down in Frederick waiting for the tanker to get unloaded, and I was sitting in a little control room where they monitor everything that was going on, and something started going wrong, and a young fellow in the control room, who I've known for a couple of years now, grabbed the phone off the wall to call the mechanic, and apparently the mechanic was a little surly with him on the other end of the phone, and the fellow in the control room used a few words and took the Lord's name in vain and slammed the phone down. Kind of sitting there, sipping on my water. He spun around, sat down in the chair, and looked at me for a minute. He goes, "I didn't mean to do that." I said, "Well, why did you?" He goes, "I don't do it that often. I should never have taken the Lord's name in vain." I said, "Well, why are you so worried about it right now?" He said, "Because you're sitting in front of me." I said, "Well, who am I?" He goes, "Well, you're a preacher." I said, "Yeah, what to do?" He said, "I've been watching you for a while, waiting for you to slip up." He said, "And I ain't seen it yet, and I've seen where you could get right mad right quick." He said, "I don't feel right about what I did." I said, "Well, then I'll pray for you." Another fellow came to me this past week. Him and his wife had lost a son, his stepson, unexpectedly. And he came out of nowhere talking to me about the problems that there was and about the things that were going on. And without warning, I grabbed him by the arm and started praying right in the middle of the quarry, right in the middle of the equipment going around, praying with him. Spun him around and sent him on his way. And I heard a report later on says, "If you want to get prayer, go find Paul. Because when he grabs you with one of those hands, you've been grabbed." But this is not unusual to me anymore. This is normal. This is Christian. This is how you're being watched. And so later on in the week, it finally happened. And it hasn't happened for a while. I'm sitting in there. I got my bib overhauls on. Best clothes God ever made. I'm dirty. I don't shave except on Sunday mornings because I hate shaving. And if I could get away with it, I never would. And I look like I always look like. Most of you have seen the normal me. And I'm sitting there, and two young fellers comes walking in there, and the fellow that taught me that joke, Stuttering Bill, who's a good Christian, spun around and said, "You see that man over there? That's Pastor Paul." And one of the smart alecky young boys from the plant looked at me and goes, "Why'd they call you Pastor Paul?" I said, "Because I preach." "What do you preach about?" I said, "I preach at Long Meadow Church of the Brother, and I have a regular church." And he went, "Oh. Well, you don't look like a preacher." Here we go again. I said, "What is a preacher supposed to look like?" He said, "Well, they don't look like you." I said, "Why?" And he goes, "Preachers look small and thin and nervous. You look like you would hurt me if I didn't listen to you on Sunday morning." I said, "Come to church then." Our actions. Paul writing to the Philippians, talking about our actions. It's not just sitting there on a Sunday morning soaking it in. It don't do nothing till you pour it out. I heard a Chinese story about a man who carried water in two buckets over a stick every day along a pathway, and one bucket had a slow leak. And after about a month, he began to realize that every day when he walked, the flowers on that side where the bucket leaked were growing. Nothing on the side where the bucket didn't. You see, it's got to come out before it'll grow. You've got to put it into action, not just words. Give me an amen. Amen. That's where we got to be, brothers and sisters. And it scared the devil out of me to think that people are watching me that closely. "You don't look like no preacher. You sure act like one." We're being taught these things. We're being taught to give a chance to preach God's word. Wherever it is, at a mission, at a coffee shop on Sunday morning, to somebody that wanders in that door. It ain't just hello and good morning. It's hello and welcome to God's house. Hello, Jesus loves you. I'm big enough I can pull that off. I grab a hold of you, I want you to listen to me. But I can tell you right now, if the smallest person in this room grabbed hold of me to tell me that, I'd be listening. Jesus loves you. He set everything forward in motion. He brought everything down just for us. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia there in Galatians, has these words to say about putting everything in action, about actions that are louder. Brothers, 6th chapter. First 10 verses. Brothers, follow along with me. Don't close them Bibles up. It might make you work a little bit today. Galatians chapter 6, first 10 verses. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. If you own the Bible you're reading out of, underline that. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in all this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Underline that. Action. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Actions are louder. Words are beautiful. I love you, honey. Her response to me is, go fix the dryer. I love you, honey. Fix the washing machine. I've learned how to show my love for my wife. Now I'm going to let everybody in on a secret I have kept all these 11 years that we've been married. Sometimes I break a few things so I can fix them to get a kiss. Actions! You're being watched as a Christian. You're being watched. You're being listened to. I saved this story for Father's Day, but unfortunately, it fits into this. The story about a man who would go to the bar every night. During the winter, one particular time, he was on his way to the bar, stomping his way through the snow, and he heard some noise. Turned around to look, and there was his young son, young, putting his feet in the same steps that his dad had made through the snow. And he spun around to the boy. He said, "What are you doing?" And the boy looked at him and said, "I'm following your footsteps, Dad." The man turned around, picked his son up, and never went to the bar again. I don't never want anybody to look at me as the way Paul had laid it out in Galatians and Philippians and say, "Yeah, he's a Christian, but..." That would cut me forever. I want them to look at me and say, "Yeah, he's a Christian and he's actually a lot of fun to be around. You should see what happens when he sits down to a plate of fried oysters." If you notice, I'm having some fun today. We've been working so hard these past 2 months, it's time to laugh a little bit. God said it was okay. He created the giraffe. I'll never figure that one out. Somebody argued with me the other day. Yeah, well, the giraffe was made so he could reach the specific leaves in a tree that he likes to eat. Why didn't you make the tree shorter? I love giraffes. I want people to see my actions. I want people to look at me the way I often did when I looked at my cousin David Fogle, who you know that has come here before and sang. I used to look at David back when I was in the other lifestyle, even back before I was married, back when I was a crazy drunk. And I used to look at him and go, how can he be so happy? He ain't got no wife. Wait a minute. Oh, never mind. He ain't got no wife, no children. All he does is go to church. He don't never have no money to buy new shoes or anything. All he does is work on stuff out there at the house. Sat him down one day. This was a turning point. Made this statement, and I use it, and I give him credit for it. Sat him down one day. We used to like to sit on the front porch of his mama's house, and I would play songs on the guitar, and we'd sing good old gospel hymns together. Bluegrass style. I looked at him one day, and I said, David, what if there ain't no God, no Jesus, no heaven, and when you die, you find all this out? Ready for what he'd say. He looked at me and he said, well, at least I've lived my life good then. You can't take that kind of joy away from a Christian. You can't take it away. If you've got Christ in your heart, you've got that joy in your heart. You're not just happy, you have joy. You can be happy and mad in the same breath, but you can keep joy with you all the time. And fellows, sisters, brothers, if you are a Christian and you are showing your actions, you're showing that joy. Amen. And I like hearing people talk about me like that instead of the way they used to talk about me. James writes these words. Now I'm going to caution you right now. James ought to be the brethren lifestyle in the Bible. As brethren, we ought to regularly read James. And as we're preparing for this study, I'm going to warn you about old Jamesy boy. James was ornery and full and mouthy and good to read. And he'll make you think about who you are. James, in his second chapter, writes these words starting in the 19th verse. You believe that there is one God. Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I'm not saying that deeds get you salvation. I'm saying that because you were saved, you want to go do things. Makes me want to. And it's good because I'm kind of mouthy. So I have no problem with it. And I see others. And I see the light of Christ in so many other people. I see it in this room. I see the light of Christ shining here. I see a lot of people in here that have fought for a long time. And to you, I say thank you. To you, I say take heart and don't be weary. Keep fighting, for Christ is coming soon. To you who are starting the fight or are thinking about getting in the fight, I say, don't delay. Don't sit there thinking about it. Don't sit there going, well, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Tomorrow you may be called home before you have that chance. Tomorrow, you may not see the sun come up again. Tomorrow, it could all change. Tomorrow, the Lord could come back. Be in action. First of all, you won't get bored. You start thinking up new ways to throw Christ out to people. You can have a lot of fun. As I've often said, if you're at a restaurant one day, just lean over to the table next to you and go, "Hi, do you know my Jesus?" Why did they move away? You should do it with joy, with want, desire, with the absolute knowledge that every time you profess Jesus Christ and His faith and His love, you have been doing what you have been commanded to do. Go and make disciples. Go grow. Go and be in action. Go and use these deeds so that your faith may be known. I have faith that when I throw the switch on the wall, the lights will come on. But know what? Until you reach over and click the switch, they won't. Action. Now I can stand there and look at that switch and go, "I know you got current in you. I know you got electricity in there. I know because you shocked me yesterday." But when you click the switch, lights. You want to know what action is? Listen to these words. Just listen. Just listen. "Then the governing soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. 'Hail, King of Jews,' they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him on the head again and again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him, and then led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. They forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?' Which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' And immediately they ran, got a sponge, filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." That's the action that Jesus Christ took to save you, to give you faith, to give you the chance to do deeds, to give you the chance to hold on to somebody and say, "Jesus loves you." To remind you, actions are louder. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I fail you. We fail you. And yet you cover us. You grace us. You lift us. You strengthen our faith so that we may go out and try again to measure up to what Jesus paid. Crucified. Rejected and alone. He lived to die. Laid behind a stone. Like a rose trampled on the ground. Through it all, above all, He saved us. Let us be of action. Let us not stand on the hill and shout words to the front. Let us not stand in the back and scream at what's wrong. Let us go to the front and be there ready. Just maybe, our single action, our single deed, showing our faith, our single moment could turn the tide of Satan within the soul of somebody we know and love and are praying for that will lead them forward to you. Let us be that strong. Remind us daily we are being watched. We stepped out in front and said, Jesus Christ saves me. I will serve Him and I will show the world. Let us be in that vein so that the day of Christ, Paul will rejoice. Jesus will rejoice and we will be at home. Lead us on, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's a need, if you're not saved, if you're struggling, if there is strength needed to be given, here's your moment for prayer. Here's your action. I'll be there to pray. I invite you as we sing the last hymn to come forward if that need is flowing within you.
Please stand and turn to number 491.
Thank you. give you the strength that you will need to get through this week. I pray your safekeeping and care until we come together again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forever. Amen.